Take your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and then I will read a passage from Proverbs after that, so you don't have to turn to both. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 19, and we'll read through verse 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the verse that I wanted to read to you from Proverbs 23 is in verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thee this evening, thanking thee for the reading of your word. We pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. There are two things that need to happen for that to be so. Number one, we have to be saved. We have to come to a place where we understand that we are sinners, that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from you for all eternity, and that there is no way we can save ourselves. And that we depend fully on the finished work, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand that his blood made atonement for our entire debt of sin. And if we will repent toward you and trust in Christ as Savior, we are guaranteed that if the faith is genuine, the salvation is as well. Speak to every heart here this evening. We pray for this young boy that was hit by the car on his bicycle, Darren, in Massachusetts, and is in critical condition. You already know that. And I don't know what your will for his life is at this juncture, but I pray that you might heal that body. I don't know the extent of the injuries, and that you will prepare the parents, the relatives, for what might be inevitable. But in any case, encourage them, speak to their hearts, and give them the grace that they need in this particular time. And for us this evening, Father, may we be very careful to understand how frail we are, and that what happened to this young boy, what we've heard would happen to Jimbo last Thursday, could happen to us just as easy at any given time. And we need to be ready. The second thing that's necessary to understand the scripture is that we be in fellowship with you. And if there is unconfessed sin in our lives, then we're not going to understand this any more than if we were lost. So I pray, Father, we would be very careful to examine ourselves and come to realize our faults, our sins, confess them to you, and get back into fellowship. So speak to our hearts tonight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have a question for the message, and that is, where's your heart? Where exactly is your heart? I'm not talking about the pumping organ, but the heart. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So I'm going to go through a list here, and where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll use those two passages as springboards to go elsewhere. Romans chapter 12. So where your treasure is, we know your heart will be there, and so will your body. Your body will be there also. I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, now verse 1 happens to be key to verse 2, which I'll probably touch on after the next one on my list. But our heart and our treasure and our heart are almost synonymous. But where we put the emphasis is critical, because it says where we put our emphasis, our body follows, and that could include entertainment. It could include sports, athletics. It could include work. It could include food. It could include ourselves. Or it actually could include the Lord. And what we're aiming for here is that we include the Lord and put him as the preeminent one here above all these others. Because if we put any of those other ones that I just mentioned, that's where your body's going to follow. It's just a natural thing here. Now, we know something about the heart. If you go back to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, if I will admit to that, then I'm on the verge of understanding my heart. But most times, I don't admit to that, and most times you don't admit to that. But this is the Scripture's opinion of our hearts, deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. And the truth is, we don't know the capability of our hearts to do wrong. And not only to do wrong, but to do things that are just unscriptural, that don't really have any basis in how we should be living the Christian life. All right, in chapter 15, in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So we have to understand that what we take in comes out. The computer language of old used to be garbage in, garbage out. And you take it in from the heart, and it proceeds out through the mouth. And these things are very critical. But first of all, the primary thing I'm interested in us knowing, where our treasure is, there your heart will be, and your body will follow. And it happens every time. Okay? Number two, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm getting there. I'm just liking to turn pages here. Philippians chapter 2. The second thing is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, and so will be your mind. Okay, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2, the last verse, Paul tells the Corinthian believers in Corinth, we have the mind of Christ. So when we read this, we understand we already have it. So this has something to do with using that. And so wherever your heart is, that's where your mind's going to be. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and then also in chapter 4, in verse 7 and 8, or verse 8, I'm sorry. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So if we were to take that literally, and we better take it literally, how can you watch a newscast? Amen. I mean, really, if you watch locally, we start off with robberies, carjackings, murders, and you go 10 minutes before there's any change. Orlando would be a horrible place to live. But that's all it is. It's bad news, bad news, bad news. And you start, if you do national news, no matter what it is, it's politics. How can you put your mind on that and be at peace? I mean, there's nothing on there that would lend itself to that. So when we looked at Romans 12:1, and we talked about our bodies being a living sacrifice, then we understand that is the key to understanding verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. A lot of times we'll go to verse 2 and we'll skip verse 1 and think that this is the way we will get people to be not conformed to the world, because the Bible says so. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you're not a living sacrifice, this is not going to happen. It's just not. You will be conformed to the world in one way or another, and you won't be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is talking about where your heart is, your treasure will be, and your mind will be as well. So don't you want the renewing of your mind? Don't you want to dwell on things that are pure and that are good? We have the mind of Christ. Now, I don't think he dwelt on some of the things we dwell on. Matter of fact, I don't know that he dwelt on any of the things we dwell on, other than concern for souls and things that are scriptural. But we're concerned about, our minds are wrapped up in all kinds of things that really take us to a place that reveal where our heart is. Oh, I think our hearts need to be here. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isaiah 26:3 says, let your mind be stayed on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. So when we read Philippians 4:8, do you know that everything in Philippians 4:8 is really are attributes of God? Of Christ. So our mind should be stayed on him. And when it's stayed on him, guess what? Our heart will be there as well. All right. Number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be, and also there will your ambitions be. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I read verse 13 and we know a little bit more of Paul than we know of each other. Paul had a past. And he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't reached that place where I think sinless perfection, but this thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, like Acts chapter 8 and the things that he was doing and trying to get rid of the believers and thinking that he was helping God and other things that we read. But where our heart is, that's where our ambition is going to be. And for most of us, they can be little things, they can be big things. But we need to dwell on moving forward. Not forget, you know, on the past. I press toward the mark of the high calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we read it. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I use that as a foundation when we had our baseball team in the Bible college. Then I said, this is the basis upon which we're going to operate this team. Some of you have talent. Some of you have great talent. Some of you have professional talent. We had a guy from the Chicago White Sox who got saved and it was in the minor leagues and was there. And we had guys that had no talent. They had no talent whatsoever. We would make up awards at the sports banquet for the people that did the greatest blunders you could ever think of. And we had a riot with it. We never did anything to hurt them or injure them. It was just funny. But we're required to be faithful, not talented, not eloquent, not educated, not dumb, faithful. That's all. Think of all the things that God has given you to do in every day. Be faithful in those things. Be faithful in Scripture. Be faithful to read. Be faithful to study. Be faithful to give out the gospel. Be faithful to be in church. Be faithful to participate in whatever you can participate in and do whatever you can do, not just here, but everywhere you go. Be faithful in all of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you think about ambition. Right, what do you aspire to be? Because that's where your heart's going to be. Paul says, I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm going to press toward the high mark of the prize that is set before me. My ambition is not to be famous. My ambition is not to be great in man's eyes. My ambition is found right here in verse 23. And I believe it's a good ambition. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, I already know that positionally I'm sanctified. But practically speaking, this is a progressive thing. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I already know positionally that's true. But sanctification is a work in progress. I believe that I'm more sanctified today than I was when I first got saved, but I'm not as sanctified today as that my ambition to be before I go home to be with the Lord. I want to be more conformed to the image of Christ. That's what I want to be. That's the only ambition that I have. No ambition to be wealthy. I have no ambition to be poor. This is what I want. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. And to do that, there's certain things you give up and there's certain things you do. But where my heart is, that's where your ambition is going to be. Your ambition is to be recognized and be prestigious and so forth. That's where your heart's going to be. But is that scriptural? Your future determines where your treasure is, basically. All right, number four, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Where your treasure is, your heart will be, and so will your plans. Now, they're a little different than ambitions, your plans. Romans chapter 1, let's start here in verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So we see Paul made his plans to go to Rome. He didn't get there all the time, but he desired to have some fruit among them. Go to Acts chapter 16, same line of thought about your plans. Acts chapter 16, and verses 6 and 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and came to the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So Paul made plans. This is what I want to do. And the Holy Spirit said, no. So the question is this. When you make plans, do you consider God? Do you consider what he might have to say about what your plans may be? Normally, you might consider plans about your job, about your home. But do you leave God out? Many people do. So two times the Holy Spirit said no, and then verses 8 through 10, the Spirit said go, and they went. So it's an interesting thing. Many times, we had a church when I was in school that was up in this area, and they were looking for a preacher. Now, I'd had the church in Montana, and so I was teaching both in the Christian school and in the college at night. The athletic director, the Bible teacher, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is in Christian school. You're spread so thin. And so this particular church was looking for a preacher. And so they sent me some materials. And I told them, that I would pray about it. And I didn't, it was my desire to ultimately get back in the pastorate somewhere, sometime. And all of a sudden, I was so uncomfortable. I can't describe the discomfort that I had. Nobody said anything to me about the church. We didn't talk about it much, but I was set in my heart, no, I can't do this. I just cannot do this. I mean, it was profound. And so I listened. And I'm glad I did. There's other times I haven't listened. And I'm glad I did. And I'm not glad that I didn't. And so when the Lord is at work within you, you listen and you do what he says. Or the consequences may be not so good. So where your heart is, your treasure will be, or vice versa. And that's where your plans are. But include him. It's important. All right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where your treasure is, your heart is as well, and so will your prayer life be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. We know verse 16, 17, and verse 18 are impossible in the flesh. Pray without ceasing. You could be praying while you are sitting there. I can be praying while I'm speaking. I can be praying while I'm driving. I can be praying. I don't know how you do this necessarily, but I can be praying while I'm sleeping. And this is what it's talking about. We should be a prayerful people. We ought to pray about things. Many things we take for granted because we've done them so often and we don't pray. I've said this before. How many of us prayed to get to church safely today? How many of us prayed that the Lord would speak to our heart today in church, this morning, tonight? How many of us will pray that the Lord will give us safety to go to our places tonight. And whatever he has for us tomorrow, if he has anything for us tomorrow. Many times we take all of this for granted. And I don't want to make this mechanical, but this is a personal relationship that we have one with another, and we're including God in everything. Remember in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Well, acknowledge him in prayer. That's very important. Where your treasure is, your heart will be, and I believe your prayer life will be there too. What I'm getting at is, I don't know what the proximity of our lives and our hearts are to Scripture, but wherever we are, isn't there room to be closer? Isn't there room to be closer to the Lord and more like him? I hope so. Concerning the state of lost souls, what are our prayers for them? If at all, I'm glad for the list. And the list should continue to grow as we meet people and deal with people, because that's what we're supposed to be about, dealing with people, meeting people. And if there's anything that you can't pray about, then probably you shouldn't be doing it. A guy by the name of Christmas Evans, the one-eyed Methodist preacher from way back, was traveling. He was a circuit riding preacher. He was traveling from one town to another. I think he was in, it may have been Indiana, it could have been Kentucky. I can't remember. And he came riding horseback, and he came into a village, and there were lights on in this particular building, all kinds of noise coming from it. And so he rode into it, and he went inside, and they were having, it was a community dance. And so he just sat down to rest for a little bit. Then he planned on going, moving on. And a woman came over and grabbed his hand and said, "May I have this dance?" And so he looked at her, and he got up with her. And then he knelt down on the floor, and he grabbed her hand. He wouldn't let her go. And he said, "I never do anything but that I don't go to the Lord in prayer first." And so he began to pray. And he prayed. And the music stopped. And people were saying, "Oh," you know, the whole atmosphere changed. And he kept praying. And he went through the gospel. And as a result of what him being there and doing that, he saw people saved and started a church there, got a pastor, and then moved on. Amazing. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Or your treasure, that's where your heart will be. And it'll involve prayer. Think of, he could have just gone in and done, you know, work through the flesh, and he wouldn't have gotten that result. But he prayed about that. And, I mean, he brought great conviction. The Holy Spirit did, because of his prayers. Remember, in days of old in England, there were royalty that were afraid of the prayers of John Knox, of all people. They didn't want John Knox praying against them. Well, are people afraid of our prayers? In some cases, they should be. But for the most part, we're not praying, because our heart's not there. All right, number 5. 1 Thessalonians. Are you still in 1 Thessalonians 5? That's good, because this is the last one. Where your treasure is, your heart will be, and so will your thanksgiving. Your gratefulness. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Only the good things? Yes, all the good things. Some of the bad things? No, all of the bad things. Are we thankful for those people and those things we love? Hopefully, your home, your relatives, your husbands, your wives, your children, your parents, business, our church, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the safety that he gives to us, the blessing of living in this country as opposed to all the other countries of the world where we have the ability to do so many things. Be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. I'm trying to think of who's the commentator? Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was somewhere in England, and he was walking the streets at night, and a guy came around the corner with a knife and says, "Give me your," back then they call it purse, "give me your purse, and or I'll kill you." And in South America, down in, what's the big city? São Paulo. If you don't carry money in your shoes when you go running and you get robbed, they'll kill you. And so the thought was, Matthew Henry thought, he's going to kill me. And so he took the wallet and he took off running. And then Matthew Henry gave an account of that. And he says, "I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I got robbed last night. And I'm very grateful that I had nothing in my wallet, that it was me that he tried to rob and not someone else, because I would know where I'd go if I died today." And he just found something to be thankful about in that. And oftentimes we'll just look and say, what a horrible thing. There are people that are going through horrible things. But in those horrible things, give thanks, because that's God's will. Other people cave. Other people do bad things. They don't see any future. They take their lives in many cases, or they do terrible things. But we have something that they don't have, and that we have a God in heaven that is concerned for our heart. Not only our salvation, but our heart. And he wants our hearts to be right with him. So when we think about the state of our heart, and I say in invitations, how is it with your heart? You really don't know. I don't know. So we guess. But this takes the guesswork out of it and pretty well nails the very things that are going on. And we ought to be people that are interested, and our hearts should be concerned of our bodies, our minds, our ambitions, our plans, our prayers, and our thanksgiving. That's not too much to ask from the Lord, is it? Or for the Lord. It's not too much to ask as we go through each day. And as you do that, you take your mind off of a lot of the things that weigh you down every single day in various ways. So however the Lord's speaking to your heart this evening, he may be speaking to you and concerning some of these things or somewhere else. Holy Spirit does a marvelous job of dealing with things in other areas than I'm saying. But if you're lost, it's a good time to get saved. Because you have today, you have now, you may not have tomorrow. And I don't say that to scare you, I say that to wake you up. You may not have tomorrow. Same thing if we're saved. We may not have tomorrow, so let's make sure things are right. Let's pray. As you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight, if the Lord spoke to you in any regard, this would be the time to act upon that. You didn't come here by accident. You came here by providence. It doesn't mean that you'll give God any results whatsoever or that you'll respond. But you need to be confronted with some life or death issues. If you die in your sins, you'll perish forever. If you receive Christ as Savior, you'll live forever. If you die without repentance in the Christian life, you'll lose your rewards. You'll lose a lot of rewards. Imagine going to heaven out of fellowship. You can't put off making things right. That's why 1 John 1:9 is so important. Because it's not an end of the day thing. It's not the end of the week thing. It's at the moment that this happens, you recognize that it's wrong and you want to make it right. And not go back to it. So whoever God is speaking to your hearts this evening, I just pray that our people, you that are here, maybe somebody that's watching, would respond in kind. Father, I am grateful for my salvation in Christ. I realized that I did not deserve to be saved, that I had no entitlement to be saved, but that you, while I was still a sinner, went to the cross for me, paid my sin debt through your blood, death, burial, resurrection, and offered me a salvation that is full, free, and complete. Father, for we who are saved, may we understand that there are many things pulling at our heart. The old nature, the world, the devil, and you, the Holy Spirit, through your word. It does us no good to know these things and do nothing about them. So I pray that we would act upon them, that we would know ourselves, know a little bit about our hearts. The heart is not stronger than the indwelling spirit. And the very things that defeat us can be torn to shreds. And we can have the victory just by yielding to the Holy Spirit. I pray we would. So speak to our hearts. May you have your way in the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.